They're going over the heads of the people who are supposed to protect them. Today, dozens of girls marched on the Constitutional High Court of Kenya to ask for protection. All of them have been raped. Some are as young as 3 years old. And they say that Kenyan police have consistently and in many cases willfully failed to protect them from sexual assault. So they are asking the High Court to force police to respect both the law and their rights. Fiona Sampson is a Canadian lawyer and the executive director of the Equality Effect. She is representing the girls. We reached her in Meru, Kenya.
Ms. Sampson, what do you want Kenya's Supreme Court to do for these girls that the Kenyan police have apparently failed to do?
What we're hoping is that the Meru High Court will recognize that the police treatment of girls' claims of defilement here in Kenya constitute a violation of their human rights and security rights under the Kenyan Constitution and under international law, and that they will order the police to actually enforce existing laws that are quite excellent and that are designed to protect girls from defilement, and that the police will actually then do their job and protect girls from rape.
So you believe that the laws in Kenya are adequate to protect girls and women from rape and defilement, but the police just aren't enforcing those laws?
That's right. The laws that exist, the Sexual Offences Act, is excellent. It would be fully effective if the police actually enforced it the way that it's designed to be enforced.
What's in general are the stories? Sort of the overarching story of these girls, and then maybe you can tell us a few specific stories of them.
Sure. The girls are all girls between the ages of 3 and 17 years old. They're all from the district of Meru, about 4 hours outside of Nairobi in Kenya. They've all been raped or defiled by family members, by teachers, by the police themselves. They're often raped because of the belief in this myth that having sex with a virgin will cure a man's HIV/AIDS, and that the younger the girl, the stronger the cure. They've all received treatment and care at a shelter in Meru, Kenya, and all the girls have received treatment at the shelter, where they can stay for approximately 6 weeks before they have to return to the community because of the backlog and demand for new girls to get into the shelter.
So of this group of girls, was anyone brought to justice for what they did to them?
So in this group, there have occasionally been success stories, and that tells us that the system actually can work. We know that when the shelter that the Equality Effect is partnered with, when they push and push and push, the police do sometimes do their job, and they can be effective. And so there have been success stories where the girls' cases have been investigated, prosecuted, and resulted in convictions.
Why do the police not go after these perpetrators?
Well, the police give all kinds of reasons for justifying their failure to enforce the Sexual Offences Act. They'll say that they don't have fuel to go and visit the scene of the crime. They'll say that that a girl of 8 years old consented to the defilement. They'll say that surely an attractive young girl like the victim in front of them must have asked for the rape. They'll ask for money to investigate the claim when, you know, clearly they're meant to be providing the services free of charge, and, you know, people in these communities don't have money to pay for these kinds of services. But really what's happening, I think, is that girls are so devalued and discriminated against that they're just not a priority. So police just aren't motivated to investigate, and they just don't do the job.
And what could the Supreme Court do to motivate them?
So what we've asked for is an order that the High Court recognize that the police treatment violates the girls' human rights under the Constitution of Kenya and under international law, and that the court order that the police actually investigate the claims, and then that there be training done for the police, and that the training incorporate some kind of participation and consultation with human rights groups that are on the ground, and that the guidelines that are developed to inform this training are all monitored on a regular 6-month basis so that the court stays appraised of the situation, and so that if the police fail to actually enforce the act after the court makes its order, it can follow up.
And what hope do you have that the Supreme Court will actually do this?
We are cautiously optimistic that we'll get an order in our favor. We've spent 2 years working to bring this claim with volunteers, all working pro bono around the world to support our Kenyan colleagues on the front line. And there are excellent arguments that we've developed, and there's excellent case law that we've incorporated for the court to review, and so we are cautiously optimistic.
As you know, Kenya is not unique in this, in having women and girls violated and done so with impunity. Is this the first time in Africa we have seen a Supreme Court challenge of this nature?
As far as we know, this case will make legal history in Kenya and in Africa. It's the first time that a constitutional claim is being brought to get at the root source of the systemic discrimination that's responsible for the violation of the girls' human rights, and I think we made legal history today.
All right. Well, we'll be following this case. Ms. Sampson, thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
It was Fiona Sampson. She is a Canadian lawyer and executive director of the Equality Effect. She was in Meru, Kenya.